We continue our learning, Le'ilui Nishmas, David ben Menachem Unish, and Chaim Yaakov ben Pinchas Elio. We begin Maseches Maaser Sheni. We've mentioned Maaser Sheni in the past. Maaser Sheni is the 1/10 of a person's produce that is given in the 1st, 2nd, 4th, and 5th years of the Shemitah cycle. In the 3rd and the 6th, we give Maaser Ani in its place. Many halachos that relate to Maaser Sheni, we could give a very long introduction. Instead, we'll learn those halachos as we find them throughout the Mishnahs. Mishnah begins with respect to Maaser Sheni's halacha, that it's Kodesh Lashem, that has a certain level of Kedusha to it, and important to be aware of a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, found several places in Shas, that based on the fact that it uses the word Kodesh, Rabbi Meir regards Maaser Sheni as Mamon Gavoa. It's considered really property of Hashem, and therefore it has a certain status, and it will see cannot be sold. And Rabbi Meir most likely is the author of our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda believes that it's Mamon Hedyot, that Maaser Sheni, despite the fact that he uses the word Kodesh, nonetheless, Maaser Sheni is Mamon Hedyot. It's considered under the ownership of the person, and there are many practical differences between those two opinions. So the Mishnah begins. Maaser Sheni ain morchenoso. Maaser Sheni produce is, not only does it mean you're not allowed to sell it, it means it's not subject to selling, which means if you would sell it, it would not be effective at all. So that's what it means, Maaser Sheni ain mochino so, and it's not effective, because once again, as we said, it's sanctified, it's Kodesh Lashem, the author of this mission is Rabbi Meir, and therefore, any sale would be considered ineffective. Nor are we permitted to designate it as a mashkon, as security. A person who borrows money can say, okay, I have Maaser Sheni, that will act as security of the loan. Once again, this is the opinion of Rabbi Meir, that Maaser Sheni is Mamon Gavoa, so it's not under the owner's, and in this case, the loves, the borrower's jurisdiction. So in order to be able to use something as a mashkon, you have to own it. And of course, Maaser Sheni, he does not, according to Rabbi Meir's opinion. There are Rishonim claim that maybe this halacha of Ein Memashkeno, so you can't use it as security, would actually even follow Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, who holds that Maaser Sheni is Mamon Hedyot. Why would we forbid to use it as security? Because it's considered an embarrassment. It's a bizayon. It's degrading to Maaser Sheni. What happens? When people give an object as security, it's usually something that you know, that's not so important to you, that you don't care if you end up losing out on. So because of that, and uses the language Ki Berechecha Hashem in Parshas Re'eh, or that we have that there has to be a bracha related to it. So it's important to use when it comes to Maaser Sheni. We have to treat it as something that's valued, like commodity that's valued, something that's important, and it shouldn't be in a way anything that would be a stira, that would be a contradiction to bracha, to being a blessing. So even Rabbi Yehuda would agree. Even if Maaser Sheni is Mamon Hedyot, it's ordinary, it's that of a commoner, it belongs to the owner himself, it's not Mamon Gavoa, it would be a bizayon to the Maaser Sheni to use that produce as a mashkon, as a security. Mishnah continues, Veid Machlifin Oso, you're not permitted to exchange it. Person can say, okay, you take my wine of Maaser Sheni and give me oil in exchange. What's the problem? Because being Machlif in exchange is also a form of sale, and if we're not allowed to sell Maaser Sheni, so we can't exchange it. Then Velo Shoklin Kenegdo, you're not allowed to use it as a weight. So if I have a coin, let's say, that you redeem Maaser Sheni on, so therefore that has the Maaser Sheni Kedusha. Can't place that on one side of the scale in order to weigh a chulin coin, a non-holy coin, against it to see its weight, because that would be considered a question. That either would be a bizayon, we would consider that a bizayon, and that maybe even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, or maybe no, because it's kadosh, it's inappropriate to do that as well, to use it as a weight. V'lo yomar adam lachaver b'shalayim helach yayim v'tein li shemen. And nor should a person say in Yerushalayim here's wine and give me oil. Now that sounds very much like the Ein Machlifin, you're not allowed to exchange. So all of a sudden now we mention Yerushalayim. So what Mishnah is telling us is like this. Before we said you're not allowed to exchange Maaser Sheni produce outside Yerushalayim. I'm giving you wine, you'll give me oil in exchange. Here the Mishnah is telling us you can't even exchange it inside Yerushalayim. one type of Maaseh Sheni produce for another type of Maaseh Sheni produce. Why would the Mishnah need to teach us both of these things if, after all, you're not allowed to exchange a Maaseh Sheni outside the city of Yerushalayim? Why does the Mishnah now have to forbid exchange inside Yerushalayim? So the Rishonim explain that one would have thought, since I'm allowed to use Maaseh Sheni coins, that if you have a Maaseh Sheni and I redeemed it, so if I have those coins upon which Maaseh Sheni was redeemed, and I bring those coins to Yerushalayim, and I buy food with that money, so that's permissible. So I would have thought, well, if I'm allowed to do that, so maybe I'm allowed to buy other food through the exchange of the original Maaseh Sheni produce. Forget the coins. Let's say I bought the original Maaseh Sheni produce Yerushalayim. So if I'm allowed to use the coins that have the sanctity of Maaseh Sheni on them to buy food, maybe I can use the Maaseh Sheni produce, where I did not redeem it, it's still holy, to buy other produce with that, which is essentially just exchanging it. So Mishnah says you can't even do that in Yerushalayim proper. V'chein, the Mishnah then says, v'chein sharkoa peros, and this is true regarding all other peros. What does the Mishnah mean by that? So the Mishnah just spoke about an exchange, wine for oil. So the Rishonim say, and you can't do that with other things as well. You can't exchange figs for dates or the like. And others say, no, I don't need the Mishnah to teach me that. That's obvious. If it doesn't work for wine and oil, why would I think it doesn't work for other things? So the Chiddush is like this. Wine and oil, according to some, is Maaseh Sheni Doraisa. But other produce, according to many, is only Maaseh Sheni Midrabanan. Because according to the opinion that wine, oil, and dagon and grain are the only things that are chayiv in the Trumos u'Maasos Midoraisa, so one would have thought, well, maybe the exchange prohibition anyway would not apply to Maaseh Sheni Drabanan. The Mishnah says, yes, it does. Avol, the Mishnah concludes, Nostim ze la ze matnas chinam. Even though Maaseh Sheni can't be sold, you're allowed to give it as a gift. Once again, following the opinion of Rabbi Meir, why? Now, why is this Rabbi? This is not Rabbi Meir against Rabbi Yehuda. This is Rabbi Meir in a different context. There's a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, whether or not you're allowed to give, whether or not we consider a gift like a sale. So Rabbi Meir's of the opinion that we don't consider it a gift like a sale. So since, giving a manas chinam is an outright gift, so then, and even though I'm not allowed to sell a mochrin, but I'm allowed to get it as a gift, that's permissible. But the Chachamim would disagree. The Chachamim who hold that a gift and a sale are basically the same in halacha probably would not allow you to give a gift either of Maaseh Sheni, in the opinion that Maaseh Sheni is Mamon Gavoa. And others say no, even the Chachamim would agree. Even the Chachamim who consider a gift to be the same as a sale, they still would say that when it comes to Maaseh Sheni, here we would allow such a thing. Why? Because yes, to give a gift, a formal gift that would resemble a sale. The Mishnah, when it says "Amol Nostim Zela Zem Matnas Chinam," it merely means that you're inviting a person to be a guest and share in the meal, in the suda of a Maaseh Sheni. And that's what it means. And that's why the Mishnah would permit such a thing, even according to the Chachamim, that a sale and a gift are the same. Perek Aleph Mishnah Beis, Maaser Behema. So Maaser Behema, this Mishnah, Maaseches Maaseh Sheni is about Maaseh Sheni. Maaser Behema is something completely different, but it has comparisons to the previous Mishnah. And on the lesson, when it's to speak about a Bechor as well, once we spoke about the restrictions of selling Maaseh Sheni, we'll speak about the restrictions of selling Maaser Behema and Bechor. Maaser Behema is when I have my flock. So every 10 animals that comes, we have one come at a time through, we have this in the end of Sefer Vayikra. They come through the fence, and we paint every 10th one put a mark on it, and every 10th one is brought as a korban, brought to Yerushalayim. Now, the Ma'adin of Maaser Behema, so that is brought as a korban. If it has a mum, it has a blemish, so then obviously it cannot be brought as a korban. What do we do with then? So then you're allowed to slaughter it and eat it. The owner is allowed to slaughter and eat it. There's no problem with that at all. And that's based on the pasuk at the end of Vayikra, v'chamasar b'karvatzon, cattle and sheep, every tenth, kol asher yavor tachas ha-shavit, goes under the shavit, it goes under the scepter, under the stick, ha-asiri yeh kodesh l'ashem. So it has to be kodesh. But of course, if it's as a mummy, can't be kodesh. So the Mishnah says, what about maser behema? Ein mochrin oso tamim chai. You're not permitted to sell it when it's unblemished, it's tamim, when it's alive. What does it mean? So even if I have certainly if I have maser behema that is tamim, that is that it does not have a blemish and should be brought as a sacrifice, so that I should not sell because it's kodesh. But the Mishnah then says velo balmum chai vishachut. The Mishnah adds that you're not even allowed to sell maser behema when it has a blemish, and that's true whether it's alive or it's slaughtered. So maser behema cannot be sold, period. Even if it's blemished maser behema, which we know we can't promote as a korban, and you're allowed to slaughter it, and the owner's allowed to eat it, also you're not allowed to sell. Now, why is this so? So it's based on a gezera shava, the connection between similar phrases in the Chumash. In the context of maser behema, it says lo yigoel, you're not allowed to redeem it. So not allowed to redeeming it, including that just says we don't redeem it, we bring it as a korban. But but in the context very close to that, also the end of Vayikra Parshas B'chukasai, regarding cherem, which are objects that we dedicate as a vow, which go to the Kohanim. So there the Torah says, lo yimocher v'lo yigoel. It uses the phrase lo yigoel, I can't redeem, but it also uses the phrase lo yimocher. So if it says lo yigoel regarding cherem, then it says lo yigoel regarding maser behema. But also when it came to cherem, it used the word lo yimocher. Ah, so that tells me that I have the right, based on the common language, to say, just like if I have objects that were vowed as cherem, as gifts to the Kohanim, not only can't you redeem them, but they can't be so lo yimocher, so to maser behema, which also has the word lo yigoel, we apply lo yimocher, that you're not allowed to sell it as well. And as we said, so this applies not only to tamim, animals that are fit for carbon, but even to the sale of a blemished maser behema, which is no longer able to be used as a carbon at all. Mishnah continues, ve'ein mekachin bo ha'isha. What else can I do with maser behema? So maser behema, you cannot use for kiddushin. Kiddushin, I have to use an object that's worth something or has some value with, or shavaputa, according to Beis Hillel, beginning of kiddushin. So we look at marriage like a transaction, like a sale. There's an acquisition, so to speak. We give something, we give the woman something of value, and she is halachically at least acquired, so to speak. So since it's a transaction, it's not exactly a sale, but nonetheless, because it's similar to that, it also, if I'm not allowed to sell maser behema, so therefore I cannot use it as kesef kiddushin. There is another way to understand this this halacha, and that is like this. Let's take the case of cherem, the vow, the gifts that we gave to the Kohanim. So those, the person who will receive, if you have a cherem, the cherem is not viewed as, meaning if you would sell it, so we would not consider this to belong to the person who has it. It's an ineffective sale. So if that's the case, so maser behema too, it's ineffective. The person who designates it, so it doesn't have, the person who now buys it, it doesn't belong to him. So the same thing, when it comes to marriage, there has to be where the chassan is giving something that belongs to him to the woman. So maser behema or cherem don't belong to that person in order for him now to give it to the other person. So that's why it will be ineffective. Different interpretation of this halacha, but either way, maser behema, once again, can't be sold, whether it has whether it's unblemished or blemished, and you're not allowed to use it for kesef kiddushin for marriage. Now we move on to Bechor. Bechor, the firstborn male animal, also has to be brought as a korban. There, if it's not brought as a korban, it still now is under the ownership of the Kohen. It's eaten by the Kohanim. So HaBechor, Morchen Oso Tamim Chai, a Bechor we are allowed to sell when it's blemished, when it's unblemished, when it's alive, Baal Mum Chai V'Shochot, and when it has a Mum, when I'm allowed to slaughter it, where the Kohen can slaughter for himself, it can be sold, whether it's alive or it's slaughtered. U'mekachin Bo Aisha, and you're allowed to use it for Kesef Kiddushin. Basically, we learn this, it's a very different, it functions very differently than Maser Behema. A Bechor is allowed to be used for all of these purposes. Why is this? So the Gemara Mechoran Sadaf Laban Aleph, and the Beis learns this from the pasuk that uses the language of lotiv deh. The language of lotiv deh is different than the language of lo yigael. Yes, both mean that you're allowed, you're not permitted. Lo yigael lotiv deh means you're not allowed to redeem. Means that to transfer the animal's kedusha of masav hema or bechor onto coins is not allowed. Nonetheless, the difference in the language teaches us that that when it comes to the Maser Behema, that is not allowed even for sale, but when it comes to the Bechor, we're allowed, it's only redeeming is not allowed, but sale is allowed. So once again, Lo Yigael meant you're not allowed to redeem and you're not allowed to sell. Why do I know that? Because of the connection to Cherem. Because Cherem had lo yimacher v'lo yigoel. But the fact that by Bechor it says lo tifteh and it doesn't use the word yigoel, that comes to tell me that lo tifteh means just don't redeem, but it has nothing to do with not selling, and therefore it's allowed to be sold. If it's allowed to be sold, so then we can use it, then all of the other halachos follow suit. You're allowed to use it for kesef kiddushin as well, as opposed to the Maser Behema, which is not permitted to be used for that purpose. Mishnah continues. One other interesting point, and that is Teferis Yisrael says, the fact that I can mekadesh a woman with a bechor is actually an interesting chiddush. Why is that so? Because if you have an unblemished bechor, a tamim, so if that were brought as a korban, you're not permitted to use that for kesef kiddushin, it's brought as a korban. The only thing is, there's the possibility that it will eventually develop a mum. This is a whole area of halacha. There was the highest level of smicha, was the ability of a rabbi to distinguish between what we call yater b'choros, between a mum kavua, a permanent mum, which would allow the kohen to now not use it as a korban and eat it, and shecht it and eat it himself, or a mum over, where it's a temporary mum, and eventually have to wait till it heals, and it still has to be brought as a korban. Because the possibility exists that it could develop a mum kavua, and it would not be any longer brought as a korban, it wouldn't be Hashem's, but it would be the mamon, that of the kohen himself. So that's why he came in Mekadesh a woman with it, even though this is only potential. The chance that it may develop a mum is enough to give it inherent value that it can be used for Kiddushin. Mishnah continues, Ein Mechalalin Meiser Sheni Ala Simon. Well, those of us that were dating ourselves who know what an Asimon is, but at least in Israel, but an Asimon in Mishnaic terms is just an unminted coin, just a piece of silver, which is not yet currency, not yet a legal tender. So the Mishnah says that you're not permitted to redeem Maser Sheni on an Asimon. Maser Sheni, we know we're allowed to redeem on coins, and those coins we bring to Yerushalayim and buy food in Yerushalayim. It'd be a big schlep to bring all of the produce of Maser Sheni to Yerushalayim. So we redeem it onto coins. We mentioned this many times in Seder's Roim. But you're not permitted to be mechala to redeem it on an asimon, even though it is silver, it has a certain weight and a value, but it's not a coin, it's not allowed. Why not? If it's a piece of silver, so then who cares that there's a king, the form of a king on it? It shouldn't matter, it's still a value. So it's based on the pasuk, v'tzarta ha-kesef biyadcha. The pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh that you're going to bind up the money in your hand. Now, Vitzarta also can be understood from the word Tzura. Tzura means a form, an image. And therefore, there has to be an image of a king, a minted coin, something that's stamped. In order for it to be an effective redemption onto a coin. Velo ala matabea she'eno yotze. Nor can you redeem master sheni produce on a coin that's not currency. Eino yotze, that you can't spend. But the pasuk says, v'nasata keseth b'chol asher ta'aven afshecha. What's ta'aven afshecha? I should be able to buy what my heart desires, what my soul desires. If I can't purchase if I can't purchase anything with these coins, because it's eino yotze, it's not legal tender, so then this is not considered a proper redemption. And then the Mishnah concludes, "Velo alamos she'enon berishuso." Nor are you allowed to redeem your master sheni produce onto coins that are not in your rishus, not in your domain, which means that it's not accessible. Let's say you don't know where your coins are, or maybe you know where they are, but they're not. The only way to get them is to spend money in order to get them, to find them. So you can't use that as well. Why? That's based on the word we said. We quoted the pasuk before. Vitzarta hakesef biyadcha. What's biyadcha? Biyadcha not only means in your hand, right? It means something that it's within reach. It's something that is accessible to me.